It's a Thursday night. I am the Solomonster, and this is a very special live edition of the Solomonster Sounds Off here for Thursday, November 17, 2022. Not only are we celebrating 20 years since the very first Elimination Chamber at Survivor Series in 2002, we are also celebrating 15 years of the Sound Off, and I am in a very festive mood tonight. I'm drinking. I don't know what you guys are eating or drinking. Some of you are watching the football game. Whatever it is that you may be doing, maybe you're playing God of War, whatever it might be. I'm very happy that you are joining me here tonight. Very busy week. We were live last night after Dynamite for the go-home show, the very uninspiring go-home show to Full Gear. 818,000 total viewers overnight for AEW Dynamite. That's a big drop from where they were last week, and not where you want to be, only a few days removed from one of your biggest pay-per-views of the year. So that was not good. That was not a good sign heading into Full Gear. But tonight's not about Full Gear. Full Gear is on Saturday. Tonight, we are doing a watch-along for the main event of Survivor Series 2002, which honestly is one of the best top-to-bottom Survivor Series pay-per-views that WWE has ever done. Some of you may think it is the best. I think it's in the conversation. If you think that it is the best Survivor Series of all time, I would not necessarily disagree with you. But we're not just going to be doing a watch-along, which is what we'll start out with. We are also going to be hanging out during the watch-along. I see people already chatting it up, which I love to see. Super chats are open. I know we've already had a whole bunch that have come in, which I love. I appreciate that very much, and I am going to be reading them throughout the stream. So if you have questions, if you have comments, if you've been with me since day one, I thank you. If you've been with me since the TV Tracks days, I thank you. If you've been with me for a week, I thank you. However you discovered this podcast, however you discovered this YouTube channel, I am very grateful for your patronage. And Del Fuego, calm down, Del Fuego. We're just getting started here. What are you talking about? Be the Booker already. We just did Be the Booker last night. Calm down. Let me just say a few words here at the top, though, just about the whole anniversary. And I said this on the audio show a few weeks ago on the actual day of the 15-year anniversary. And I'll say it again here. It's hard for me to imagine if I could put myself back in the mind of where I was in 2007 when I did that first show, and to see how the show has not only grown, but just how much of a part of my daily, everyday life it has become, and how it has become a way that I can support myself, and it's been, you know, a creative outlet for me. Just so many positive things have come out of doing this show 15 years ago. And again, I've made tons of friends and met so many people, and all the meetups and the House of Glory opportunity that came my way, you know, 4 years ago, all of it. I'm so happy to see how things have grown, but also unsatisfied because I'm the kind of person where, you know, it's nice that you can look back and say, oh, I did this and I did this and I did this and I'm proud of that. But you always want to take it to that next level. So I'm always looking for ways to make things better. I'm always looking for ways to improve things. I'm my own worst critic. Of course, you guys are also there to critique me when need be, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But again, I have had the opportunity, the great fortune over these years to travel to a lot of places that I can tell you right now, I otherwise would not have traveled to. I wouldn't have had a reason to go. And all the different places I've been able to go for WrestleManias and other events, and New Orleans and Texas and California and Vegas and Florida and Canada, and I mean, all these different places that I've been has been a lot of fun. So I'm glad that you've been along for the ride with me. I just wanted to say that here from the top. I see a lot of the same names in the chat every single week when we go live here on YouTube. I see a lot of people in the chat now who are with me not even 24 hours ago. And it's that kind of support that just makes me shake my head and go, I don't know what I'm doing. I must be doing something right. But it means a lot to me. So every time you show up, just know that. Just know that it means a lot. So tonight we are going to, as I said, be doing a watch-along. Tomorrow night is going to be the SmackDown stream. So I'm going to be live with you again. Saturday night, when Full Gear is over, we're going to be back here for the pay-per-view recap. Sunday will be episode 783 of the podcast, which, as you guys know, drops every Sunday, as it has for 15 years. And then Monday night, live after Monday Night Raw. That's the beginning of Thanksgiving week. So there's a lot of live content coming to the channel, and hopefully you'll be able to be part of all that. If you are on Peacock, and I don't know if you are out of the country, it might be just WWE Network where you are, but on Peacock, so you guys can get ready. The match that we are going to be watching is part of Survivor Series 2002. On Peacock, and I put this in a pinned comment in the live chat, and it's also in the description down below. You want to look for Season 16, because they have them ranked by seasons on Peacock. So it's Season 16, Episode 1. That is Survivor Series 2002. You want to advance to the timestamp 1 hour, 52 minutes, and 44 seconds. That is where, when we get to that part in a few minutes, I'll tell you guys to push play so we can all be in sync. 1:52:44. So I'll give you guys a few minutes to go find it. It's the part where Eric Bischoff is walking to the back and Howard Finkel is about to make the match announcements and all the introductions for the participants in the Elimination Chamber match. So again, that is pinned in the chat. The chat is open for everybody tonight. Normally with these watch-alongs, they're public for everybody, but the live chat is members only. Tonight, because of the special occasion, I've opened it up to everybody, but do become a channel member. Why not? Right? You can become a Sound Off superstar or a Sound Off legend. Just another way that if you would like, you can support the channel. This was the first Survivor Series since 1996 to emanate from Madison Square Garden here in my backyard of New York City. I was not at this show. I was watching this show at home, like everybody else, on pay-per-view. I can tell you that this show was a legit sellout. They had a lot of people, almost 18,000 people in the building. Broke the all-time gate for pro wrestling in New York City. And not only did they break the all-time gate for pro wrestling in New York City, it was also the largest gate for any professional wrestling show that was not WrestleMania. Now, that record has since been broken a whole bunch of times over. But that was a very big deal at that time. So business-wise, the show did very well. As I usually do with these watch-alongs, I just want to do a run-through of the entire card and the results and some of the things that happened on the show. But before I do that, I'm going to take a sip here of my... Hey, Brian Becerra, thank you, brother. I see that Brian is with us tonight with the $35 Super Chat. HL just became a Sound Off superstar. HL, this is a salute to you. I want you to know, it's been a while since I have dusted off the old bottle of Jack Daniels. Who's sitting down there collecting dust. It's been a while. But I figured tonight was a special occasion, so I'll drink with you if you drink with me. But HL, thank you for becoming a channel member. So the show opened with Bubba Ray Dudley, Spike Dudley, and Jeff Hardy beating 3 Minute Warning and Rico. Remember Rico Constantino? It was a 3 Minute Warning and Rico. It was an elimination tables match. This is the match with the infamous spot where Rico was on the top rope and he was setting up for a moonsault. He was going to do a moonsault to somebody through a table. I don't remember who it was. But he was setting up for a moonsault and he was waiting for Jeff Hardy. Because the whole point of the spot is that Jeff Hardy was going to shake the ropes and Jeff Hardy was going to crotch him. Well, Jeff Hardy was not around. And poor Rico is shouting, come on, Jeff, God damn it, come on, Jeff. And Jeff, I don't know if he was sleeping. I don't know if he saw a hot woman. I don't know what it was, but Jeff wasn't in the position that he needed to be in. And so poor Rico got stuck up there for like what I'm sure to him felt like forever. But it was about 15 seconds. Eventually, though, he did make his way over, and he did do the spot. But it also included the Dudley Boys reunion with Bubba Ray and Devon. Devon had spent a good portion of the year, I think from June onward, as a singles on SmackDown. They got split up in the draft, which was a very dumb move. And he was doing the Reverend Devon character, which is where Deacon Batista got his start. But this was the Dudley Boys reunion, which got one of the biggest pops on the entire show. Billy Kidman pinned Jamie Noble to win the Cruiserweight title. Two men who would go on to work as agents and producers behind the scenes in WWE. Victoria beat Trish Stratus to win the Women's Championship 4 months removed from her call-up from Ohio Valley Wrestling. Victoria was the Women's Champion. This was the first women's title change in Madison Square Garden in 17 years since the infamous Spider Lady match with the not-so-fabulous Moolah and Wendi Richter, the first screwjob in WWE. Bret Hart was not the first screwjob. Big Show pinned Brock Lesnar with an assist from Paul Heyman to win the WWE Championship. That was Brock Lesnar's very first loss in a WWE ring, on television anyway, since he had made his debut. His very first defeat, this is when Heyman turned on Brock. I remember watching the show live and I was in awe when Brock got Big Show up on his shoulders and held him there and hit the F5. I thought that was going to be a highlight for the highlight reel for the next 20 years. And you could even tell watching the show, everybody rose to their feet, right? It was just this incredible feat of strength. And for a guy in Brock Lesnar who did not go into the match 100% healthy, Brock went into the match, he had, I think it was a PCL strain. He had at least one broken rib. With a broken rib, he picked a 500-pounder. When I say 500 pounds, this was Big Show when he was legitimately in that range. This was not slender Big Show. Big Show was big. And Brock Lesnar with a broken rib was able to pick him up and give him an F5. And that will never not be impressive to me. It was a short match though. Brock, I'm sure, couldn't do an extended match because of the injuries. But most well known for the Paul Heyman turn. After Brock Lesnar had beaten Hulk Hogan on SmackDown earlier that summer. This was right before Brock went to SummerSlam and won the WWE Championship from The Rock. He had beaten Hulk Hogan on SmackDown with a bear hug. And Hogan agreed to do the job. He was going to go away for a while with the understanding or the hope, maybe the hope on his part, that when he came back, he would get his win back over Brock for the title at Madison Square Garden. Thankfully, I don't know how seriously that was ever considered by Vince McMahon, but if it was, thankfully he and everybody in that company came to their senses, because that would have been a terrible idea. And look, it might have gotten a pop in the building that night, it might not have, because with Madison Square Garden, you just never know. Brock Lesnar came into this match and he was getting cheered wildly like a huge babyface. And they were kind of building to it by this point. He never really did anything to turn babyface per se, but the Garden is very unpredictable. Hogan may have gone in there and gotten a big pop one night, but then what happens the next night? We saw this earlier in 2002. Hogan beat Triple H. The month after WrestleMania, he beat him to win the WWE Championship. And it was this great nostalgic moment. But here's the thing about nostalgia. It will only get you so far. That nostalgic pop did not result in any business. And a month later, they took the belt off Hogan. They gave it to The Undertaker. And so the same thing would have happened there. Only this time, it would have been worse. Because instead of beating another top star like Triple H, he would have beaten the young, up-and-coming, hot monster heel. And it would have been completely ridiculous, and it wouldn't have resulted in any business. And if anything, I think it might have actually gone the other way in terms of fan reaction, because Brock was over in that building. I can see the crowd booing Hogan out of the building. Look what they did to Shawn Michaels in that same building at Survivor Series in 96 when he stepped in there against Psycho Sid. Might have been the same situation. Thankfully, they did not do that. Los Guerreros, they won the WWE Tag Team titles in a triple threat tag team match against Eddie and Rey Mysterio. Edge and Rey Mysterio, Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit. SmackDown 6 on full display. If you lived through that era of SmackDown, you know what I mean when I say that SmackDown for a period of time, the end of 2002 into 2003, was the A show in WWE. And the SmackDown 6 had a lot to do with that. And it wasn't just the SmackDown 6. They had some big names on SmackDown too. They had Hogan and Rock and people like that, but Brock and Kurt, but the SmackDown 6 were the workhorses the ones who went out there and they had the great matches. And so that was a great period of SmackDown. That was the best period of SmackDown in the history of that show. But there was another big moment on the show as well. And that was the debut of a former WCW World Heavyweight Champion who once upon a time did have a run in WWE, although it was as a tag team competitor. But for all intents and purposes, this was his debut. And that was the debut of Big Papa Pump, Scott Steiner. Chris Nowinski came out. The way they introduced him was Chris Nowinski came out and he was, you know, talking stuff about the people of New York. Matt Hardy came out. He was calling the people stupid. And this was to all build to the moment where the siren goes off and the place goes nuts. This was peak Scott Steiner in WWE. He peaked his first night in. After this, it was all downhill. And he came out and he beat them up. And then, of course, the moment that I remember was when he was asking for the microphone and he could very audibly be heard saying, "Give me a fucking mic." So it took all of 90 seconds of him being on television for us to get the first F-bomb on TV from Scott Steiner. But the minute that horrendous match was over at the Royal Rumble between Steiner and Triple H, that was it. That was it. He was done. That match was so fucking terrible. And after that, he was never the same. And I'm sure he and the company had envisioned him having a better run than he did. It did not work out. This right here, he was more over this night than he was the entire rest of his run in WWE. And then the reason why we're here. In the first ever Elimination Chamber match, Shawn Michaels won the World Heavyweight Championship over five other men, including Triple H, who came into the show winless at Survivor Series. Chris Jericho, Kane, Rob Van Dam, and Booker T. You'll see a lot of familiar names in there, many of them victims of Triple H during the Reign of Terror. Triple H had lobbied, as the story has always gone. Triple H had lobbied Vince McMahon to bring War Games to WWE. War Games had been a staple of the NWA and Jim Crockett Promotions in the 80s. It had been a staple of WCW for many years, every year, for many years. And, you know, Triple H is an old-school wrestling guy. He watched the NWA and Flair and the Road Warriors and Dusty and Harley and Terry Funk and people like that when he was growing up. So he wanted to bring that to WWE. Obviously, it fell on deaf ears. Chris Jericho actually has said the same thing. He said the Chamber was originally going to be War Games. Now, when he says that, I don't know that there was a plan in place. I think he was just referring to Triple H's desire for it to be War Games, but... he said that was the original idea, but Vince McMahon thought that War Games was too WCW. Of course he did, because it wasn't his idea. He didn't come up with it. If you could have convinced Vince that it was his idea, he would have gone with it. But it wasn't his idea. So it would take another 15 years. 15 years before Triple H was able to bring the War Games concept to NXT. And now, here we are, 20 years later. 20 years after the Elimination Chamber debut, Triple H has finally done what he wanted to do back in 2002. He has brought War Games to Survivor Series. And it kills me to say as I sit here now, we're about, what are we, not even a full 2 weeks, I don't think, right? Away from Survivor Series, maybe a week and a half. And the build to War Games at Survivor Series this year has been very lackluster. But I am hoping the actual War Games matches will deliver. But I will tell you that the build to this year's Survivor Series and the War Games matches so far has not been very good. But the Elimination Chamber match, it combines elements of different matches. So it combines elements of the Royal Rumble. It combines with elements of Hell in a Cell, the elimination aspect of the old Survivor Series matches, and the War Games matches. And it kind of takes a little bit from each. With the countdown and who comes out of their pod and the elimination aspect and all of that. It kind of brings it together. 10 tons of steel. The original structure, 10 tons of steel, 2 miles worth of chain. Very painful chain. Anybody who was in that original match has commented on how painful it was even just to be whipped into the chain. Triple H told ESPN, he said, "When we got to the garden and we stepped into the chamber, That was the first time any of the wrestlers had seen the actual structure as they walked into the building and they looked at it and said, holy shit, who the hell came up with this? And that Triple H claims he drew his basic concept of the chamber on a napkin. But he had no idea. Somebody else actually took the idea and designed it. So he didn't know what the final form would take until he walked into the building that night. Chris Jericho has said, we didn't see it until the day of the show in Madison Square Garden. And it's one of those things that you can tell was made by somebody who is not a wrestling person. It says it was very clunky. It was very dangerous. It's made of real grated steel. You probably could have made it out of rubber and you would not have known the difference. And that is funny to me because many years later, I think it was 2017, that's what they finally ended up doing. They got rid of the platform, was no longer a metal grate, or it was, but on top of it was rubber. They had like mats on top of it. And some people bitched. I never saw it as being a big deal. And we've actually had some really good Elimination Chamber matches since then. It doesn't have to be steel where these guys are being slammed and they're killing themselves. So Jericho's right. They could have done that from day one. Nobody would have batted an eyelash. Instead, these guys were getting slammed on it. And they said it was, people were getting hurt. They were getting injured left and right. So anyway, that sets the stage for where we are now, which is we're going to begin this watch along, and as we go along, I'll be reading your super chats, and then we'll hang out. But again, the timestamp on Peacock, season 16, episode 1, Survivor Series 2002. We're going to be starting from 1 hour in, 1 hour 52 minutes and 44 seconds. You're going to see Eric Bischoff, and Eric Bischoff is going to be about to make his way to the back. Howard Finkel is going to be making the match announcements. And we're going to do a little countdown here. So I'm going to count down backwards from 3, 2, 1, and then I'm going to say play now. And when I say play now, everybody can hit the play button and we will get this party started. So without any further delay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Push play now. I got this audio here in my AirPods as I wait for my new AirPods to arrive. I did manage, by the way, I posted on Twitter the other day. I was asking for feedback on what AirPods or wireless earbuds you guys use, because my second generation regular AirPods started to crap out on me. That's what these are. And I like these a lot. So I tried the third generation. They suck. I don't like them. And I know two people who swear to me they got ear infections by using the AirPods Pro. So that was a deal breaker for me. So I managed to find someone, third-party vendor, who has the second-generation AirPods with the wireless charging case. Apparently, they don't make them anymore with the wireless charging case. You got to go third-party and find them somewhere. So I found someone. So I should be getting those in the next few days. But thank you for all your feedback, though. You guys sent in some great feedback on Twitter. So Jericho's first one out. I never liked this King of My World song that he was coming out to around this time. I was never a fan of it. Never really liked it. Hey, TJ, thank you for the anniversary love. I appreciate it. This drink's for you, brother. Bulletproof glass, as Jerry Lawler claims. Jericho's going to be going through that glass a little later on in this match. Oh, that's right. I forgot. It's a live performance of his music from the, I forgot the restaurant was still there. So this is WWF New York. Is this Saliva? I think that's Saliva playing the song, and they still had WWF New York. They had renamed it at this point, The World. So I didn't realize that it was still around at this point. So yeah, that's cool. They're singing live from The World. We have a little simulcast going on here. All right, we can end this saliva. Let's go. Let's get the show on the road here. I forgot how long Jericho's entrance was. All right, Booker T coming out next. Booker T had not yet been defeated by Triple H. Rob Van Dam had already been beaten. Kane had already been beaten. The Intercontinental title has already, by this point, been merged with the World Heavyweight Championship. It has been absorbed. Booker T has not yet been soundly defeated by Triple H. That would come in a few months at WrestleMania. You know, I went to the world. I went to WWF New York. I have my WWF New York mug in here somewhere. And I enjoyed it. I thought the food was actually pretty good. Their burger wasn't bad, but they had the merchandise shop. You would walk in on the upper level. You walk right into the merch store. They'd have theme music playing in the background. Then you go down this small flight of stairs into the restaurant and club portion. I enjoyed it. But the rents in Times Square were, I'm sure, very, very exorbitant. Matt, no, I was not there that night. I was watching on pay-per-view. Here comes Kane. You know, this right here, and this is where Kane, he had debuted the half-mask look a few months before this when he came back from his bicep tear, tricep tear, I forget which. Which, you know, to this day, I think is the only major injury I've ever heard Kane suffering, where he was going to be out for a period of months. You talk about durability, especially for a big guy, you know, and that's what's impressive about Kane, Undertaker. You know, the longevity they had. Now, Undertaker missed long stretches of time with injuries. But to have that kind of longevity when you're 6'8", 6'10", 7 feet, whatever it may be, is pretty impressive. And I don't know of too many other major injuries that Kane suffered over the years. But he came back, and what I was going to say is this is the best shape I think he was in his entire career. This version of Kane here, I think, is the peak physical version of Kane. I know I'm sexy. I got the looks. Drives the girls wild. I got the move. That really move. I won't do that. I'm sorry. I'll tell you, when I drink, I get crazy. I start dancing. Shawn Michaels, with his terrible haircut, his terrible gear, even Triple H once said that he was getting ready for the match in the back, and he looked right next to him, and Shawn was kind of, he was lacing his boots, and he was getting ready, and he just kind of looked at him with the hair and the gear and the brown gear he was wearing and the boots, and Shawn's like, what? And Triple H is like, nothing. It's just like, this was not his best look. This was not his best look. Just sexy, sexy. Now, this was the first Survivor Series for Shawn Michaels since the Montreal Screwjob, which was the last watch-along that we did last week. And probably his worst ring gear ever. But you could tell he didn't have too much of a heads up that he was going to be doing this show. So now Fink is introducing us to the two men who will be starting the match. And here comes RVD, who was mega over during this period, even though he had already been beaten by Triple H 2 months before this. Should have won the World Heavyweight title. That was his moment. But, you know, especially being in New York City, of course, RVD is going to be over. Interesting, you know, in The Observer, Meltzer wrote that the chamber, the actual chamber structure, cost $500,000 to build. And he said in The Observer at the time, and I quote, to justify the cost, it will probably end up becoming an annual gimmick. I would say they got their money's worth out of it. It cost them almost as much to build the Elimination Chamber as they spent on their developmental program all year. That's how much it cost to build this thing. So RVD's in the ring, and here comes the champ. Here comes Triple H, who at the beginning of this year came out and got one of the biggest ovations ever in Madison Square Garden. Now he comes back here as a heel. Oh, I miss Fink. I miss Fink doing the announcing, man. Hey, Arthur Musa just became a sound-off superstar. Arthur, cheers. Triple H just looks weird to me without the beard and the mutton chops, all clean-shaven. He just looks weird, but look how young Flair looks. I swear to God, from like, this was the end of 02. So from like this period or like first half of 2003, you fast forward 2-3 years, Ric Flair aged about 15 years in the span of five. Like, it was unbelievable. Because here he doesn't look bad. But you fast forward just a few years and it's like, holy shit. I always said that. He looked like he aged 15 years in five. That's what that hard living will do to you. Bob the Builder, thank you for the super chat. He says, good news, Tony Khan said the pay-per-view will end early. I saw him say something about that. What is his definition of early? Instead of ending at midnight, it'll end at 11:50. Like, I don't know that it's going to be ending early, but if it ends earlier than usual, it's a welcome change. Man, I forgot, you know, this era of wrestling. This era is not my favorite era, but this era of wrestling, now that I'm going back and watching this, it just, I don't know, is it just me or does it just feel so much more big time than today? Maybe, it could be just nostalgia talking, or it could be the Jack, I don't know, but it's just me or does it just feels like a bigger deal. All right, so the door is slammed shut. And we are starting out with Triple H and RVD. So the Elimination Chamber is underway with the big gold belt. Got Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler on commentary. Earl Hebner, the one and only referee for this match. It's funny, too, because I will get emails from people who are younger. And newer wrestling fans who weren't really alive or they weren't, you know, watching during this period. I will occasionally get emails from them when they hear me make a recommendation, let's say, on an older match. And by older, I mean like 20 years, you know, not like 30 or 40 years. And they'll tell me, they'll say, you know, man, I went back and I watched that, you know, first Hell in a Cell or maybe it's the Chamber or whatever. And they'll say, like, they agree and they say, man, wrestling used to be so cool. Like, what happened? I go, I don't know. I don't know. There could be many explanations for what happened. I think wrestling got too corporate. That's what happened. So they're brawling outside. Now, again, that metal grate, all these guys over the years have talked about how fucking painful it was to land on this. And every single, even just walking on it, you can hear the noise that it makes. It's a very unforgiving structure. Oh, that door almost open. At the short aisleway at Madison Square Garden, which is no longer there, unfortunately. They have since renovated the garden, and that is no longer there. So RVD, to show off, just did a backflip on the grate and delivered a monkey flip to Triple H that looked like it sucked. And Triple H was already cut open. Rolling thunder over the top rope onto Triple H. Triple H is already cut open. I assume he gigged himself when he went into the chain. So we're not even 3 minutes into this match and already Triple H is busted open. Joseph Brooks with the 999 wants to know, how does this sound for the setup or for Lashley and Lesnar 3 at WrestleMania? You have both in the Royal Rumble, and Brock eliminates Lashley. Lashley then destroys him after, or instead they eliminate each other from the Royal Rumble. Yeah, I mean, we've seen that before. I could very easily see that happening. RVD is now on top of Jericho's pod. Jericho's reaching up through the chains, and he is dragging him through the chains. He's pulling him into the pod. Triple H is climbing up after RVD, who is now has his leg stuck through Jericho's pod. And RVD just fought his way out of it. Oh, RVD. Cannonball dive from the top of the pod just took out Triple H on the grate. I'm going to try to keep up with your super chats here during the watch-along. So I don't save them all for the end. So if it takes me a while to get to yours, don't worry. I will get to everybody. 89 Tech says, Triple H, Sean, in this ring, I am God. James Hollins, thank you for the $9.99, James. Says, happy 15th anniversary. Here's to another 15. That'll be when I am old and gray. Thank you, James. The comedic genius, give me an effing mic. Glad to be in the stream. Well, glad to have you. Scott Steiner was a menace back then. Scott Steiner now is very subdued, very calm now as he's gotten older. A lot more quiet. All right, so we got the countdown here. We're going to get the first pod is going to open. I don't know who comes out first here. Been a while since I've watched this. That noise that they were playing as the light was going back and forth between the pods, did they do that again for any other chamber match? Because that's actually very annoying. I don't remember them doing that. So Chris Jericho is in. So now we have Jericho, Triple H, and RVD officially in the match. Michael Meneses, or is it Meneses or Menezes? $4.99 Super Chat says, congrats on 15 years, Senor Monster. Thanks for your dedication and making me feel like home in the Sound Off family. Salud to another 15. Salud. You are always welcome in our family. RVD climbing up to the top rope. Oh, the Spider-Man spot. The Spider-Man spot. He dove at Jericho. Jericho ducked out of the way, and he grabs the chains. I'm telling you, back then, RVD could do no wrong. Mr. Notorious Chica with the $5 super chat. Happy 15. So the mood is right and you have dinner ready and you can pick any woman in wrestling history to celebrate with. Who would you pick? Boy, that's a huge selection to choose from. I think a quiet night with the lovely Miss Elizabeth, just kicking back and watching a movie. Yeah, you kick your shoes off, you just relax. You know, feed some strawberries. Very peaceful, classy night. My first wrestling crush, Miss Elizabeth. Corey Blake with that $35 super chat earlier. Corey, you are a crazy man. Solomon, sir, if Steve Austin never took his ball and went home in 2002, would he be part of the first elimination chamber? And who would have taken out for Austin? Who would have been taken out for Austin to replace? Yeah, I mean, again, I think it depends on his health at the time. I think his neck was bothering him at the time, but if he was healthy enough and he was still wrestling, you know, full time, yeah, absolutely he would have been part of this match, I think. And I'm looking at the people in the match. I think it would have been Booker T out, Steve Austin in. I think Booker T would have been the odd man out. So Jericho's got RVD's arms hooked. Triple H is working him over. We have not yet gotten to the part where Triple H is injured, although I think that is coming up here in a little bit. How much are the Mets offering DeGrom if I'm the Mets? You know what? Pitching is always very important. I think you offer him whatever you need to offer him to make sure you keep him. Ted Evans, thank you for the 15, brother. Says, are you like most of us when it comes to the fact that most of the friends that we started watching wrestling with are no longer watching wrestling? I am in the same boat. Very few of those people that I know of are still watching. In fact, now that I think about it, I think only one of those friends is still watching, and even he's just a casual observer. He listens to my podcast, I know that. He'll keep up with the big events, but otherwise, even he's not really watching too much. So RVD is just, he is taking a beating here. It's 2-on-1. They are ramming him back first into the chains. Triple H and Chris Jericho working together. Anthony Wood, thank you for the 10 spot. Anthony, congrats on 15 years. Here is to 15 more. Thank you, sir. Rocky Road 313, cheers to 15. Jericho Vera just subscribed. Welcome, Jericho, to the channel. Oh, RVD making a comeback. He's making that babyface comeback. There's that spinning heel kick. Down goes Jericho. He's trying. He's fighting. Brian Becerra, thank you for the 35. He says, I still have Survivor Series 2002 on VHS, as do I. Congrats on 15 years and to many, many, many more. Brian, you have been part of our family for a very long time, so hopefully you will be with me for the next 15. Okay, here we go. The next pod is about to open up. It is Booker T. The five-time WCW champion. Big pop in New York for Booker T. Riley Parvin with the $20 super chat. Happy 15. You are by far my favorite member of the IWC. There's the Spinneroonie. One of the big pops of the night for the Spinneroonie. Hey, Riley, I appreciate that. IWC has some good ones and has some rotten ones, but I'm glad that you consider me to be one of the good ones. RVD and Booker T now. Ooh, Booker just took his head off. Big spin kick. Juan Ocampo with the $4.99. Feliz Quinceanera solo. In tradition of the ceremony, we need to do a slow dance. Been listening since 2016. Thanks for getting me some rough through some rough days. Thank you, Juan. I'll let you fill me in on the traditions and what I need to do here. I'm not a very good slow dancer, I will say. Josiah Ball, happy 15th anniversary solo. You are awesome. Josiah, I think, was the first one in the chat before anybody else was. So, Josiah, you are... Ooh, back elbow by RVD. Josiah, you're awesome. Thank you. Be the Booker T. I like it, Brock. So Triple H now taking it to Booker T. Jericho's down. RVD is down. We got Kane and we have Shawn Michaels yet to emerge from their pods. There's the axe kick to the back of Triple H's head. Triple H bleeding from the forehead. Kane is just hanging out in his pod. Kane is hanging out in his pod, thinking of ways that he can cut Social Security. RVD up on the top rope. Here we go. This could be five-star frog splash time. No, he's climbing to the top of the pod, and this is where it is. This is where it happens. This is where the injury happens. So watch this. He can't, you see, the ceiling is too low. He can't stand. He has to crouch. And watch what happens here. that knee right across Triple H's throat. Ugh. You know, Jim Ross is talking about how Van Damme may have blown his knee out, but Triple H is, he is in a bad way. His knee came, now, Earl Hebner is getting down to ask, and you'll see Earl Hebner is making the X. They're showing the replay. If you're watching the box, it's somewhere around here, he realizes he's really hurt. He's going to give that signal to the back. I don't know if they're going to show it. Yeah, he's leaning down trying to find out if he's okay. Wow. So Booker T just pinned Rob Van Dam. Earl going back over to Triple H to check on him. But RVD is gone. Now watch, Booker's going to try to pin Triple H. Triple H is barely going to get that foot on the rope. Now, they said on TV that he suffered a crushed larynx. He did not suffer a crushed larynx. That's one of those exaggerated wrestling injuries. But he did suffer massive swelling to where it was very difficult for him to breathe, but also to communicate. So he really couldn't talk to anybody in the ring, maybe except for a few words. It was very difficult for him to communicate. And they did. They held him over in observation at the hospital overnight. So it was serious enough that they had to rush him to the hospital when the show was over, even though he didn't want to go. But the whole story about his larynx being crushed, that was exaggerated for effect. Ooh! Alabama slam there by Booker to Chris Jericho. Now, Triple H is going to be in the corner for a while. He's going to be trying to catch his breath, trying to recover. Now, there's a botch coming up, for those who don't know. Because we have two men who were left to come out of their pods, Kane and Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels is supposed to come out next, and the wrong door is going to open. Yeah, that noise is very annoying they're playing. So Kane's door opens, and now there's just going to be mass confusion, because it was supposed to be Shawn Michaels coming in at this point and going on offense for about 5 minutes, and that didn't happen. So Kane is going to go ahead and kick everybody's ass. But Jericho said, he did an interview years ago, he said they opened the wrong door. Kane came out instead of Shawn Michaels, so all the stuff that we had come up with in the back, all this effort and time was wasted, thrown out the window. We had to call it on the fly. And if you look there, you can even see Shawn Michaels in the background. He's kind of talking to the referees outside, asking, hey, what happened? Hey, JM! JM just dropped a $45 Bratty Young Solomonster Super Chat. That was Solomonster way before I recorded my first podcast. JM, thank you for the $45. Now, Kane just sent Jericho through the plexiglass, which was an improvised spot. Jericho was trying to figure out on the fly, okay, the wrong door opened. I'm not supposed to be working with Kane. So he told Kane, throw me through the pod, and he didn't realize how much that was going to hurt. So now Jericho is laying in a pile of plexiglass. But JM says, your first crush, Elizabeth, on the couch, watching a movie with a bowl of strawberries. I just want to say, she was mine before she was yours. Happy 15th, brother. Hashtag understood that reference. Oh, I understood that reference. I understood that reference very well, and I appreciate a good wrestling reference. JM, you are the man. JM, you've been one of our great supporters on these streams, and I love you, brother. Cheers. I'm all out of Jack. Uh-oh. Booker T going for the ride. There's a chokeslam. Kane is just kicking everybody. Oh, I thought he was going to chokeslam Triple H. I'm like, stay away from the throat. Jericho going to go for the lion salt to Booker T. Nails it. And that's it for Booker T. Booker T is done. So we're down to Kane, Chris Jericho, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels are the final four. Michaels is still in his pod. He has yet to emerge. Although he's the last one. Now Jericho's busted open after being thrown through that pod. Triple H did an interview with ESPN talking about the anniversary of the Elimination Chamber. He said, "Jericho and I laugh all the time about this. I had just gotten hurt. Jericho didn't know it, and then they opened the wrong pod. Jericho rolled over to me and went, 'Oh my God, they opened the wrong pod.' I'm like, 'I'm hurt.' He's looking like, 'Oh my God.' He just freaked out. The worst possible scenario is happening at that moment." It was one of those things where if you just watched the match, you would never know they opened the wrong door. I mean, when I was watching it and for years after, I didn't know anything was wrong. But, you know, apparently these guys were freaking out because they didn't know what to do because this was not what they had planned. But that's what the professionals do. You adapt on the fly. That's what you had to be ready to do all the time back then. You had to be ready to improvise. A lot of people these days don't know how to improvise. Corey Blake, with that $20 super chat from earlier, says, "Happy 15-year anniversary. Been watching you since 2014. To quote Dusty Rhodes from WCW Saturday Night, you are the mothership of all podcasting. I salute you, wishing you 15 more great years. God bless." I will take the Dusty Rhodes comparison. I am honored to be compared to the mothership. The real mothership is every Sunday. We have these live streams, and then we have the mothership every Sunday on Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You know the drill. Jericho with a missile dropkick off the top just took out Kane. Michaels is still, he's jogging in his pod. He's like, "I'm supposed to be in the match. What am I doing here?" All right, here we go. We got the 5-second countdown. Michaels getting ready to come out. And everybody has now officially entered the fray. Michaels going right after Jericho, going after Kane. Del Fuego, we are at the 2 hour, 23 minute, 19 second mark. If you want to catch up. Kane whips Michaels into the ropes, ducks a clothesline. Michaels just took down the big guy with a flying forearm. Hey, Groovy Goose. Actually, before I get to Groovy Goose, Drew Johnson. You know, Drew, I haven't seen you around for a while. I was starting to get worried about you. Drew Johnson has been a channel member for 14 months, says Solomonster, "You are the GOAT. Happy 15th, my friend." Drew, this is your WrestleMania right here. Your guy. Your guy's going over. He's winning the world title. You got to be very excited about this. Groovy Goose, what is your favorite fan-made theme mashup? I don't know if I have a favorite. There have been some really good ones I've heard. I don't know that I have a favorite fan-made mashup. Kane taking Jericho for a ride with that chokeslam. And Kane was a beast. Kane was a beast. He's calling for the tombstone. Somebody's going for it. Temujin Zephyr will be at Full Gear this Saturday live with great seats. Despite the poor buildup, I am excited to attend the show. I would hope so. If I paid for a ticket to the show, I'd want to be excited too. So I'm hoping they give you a good show. Kane just got nailed with a super kick by Shawn Michaels, but now he does the Michael Myers zombie sit-up. But here's Triple H. Here comes the pedigree. I always hated how Kane took the pedigree. I get it. You know, you don't want you don't want to get your face smashed into the mat, but he always put that knee down, and it just looked terrible. It looked even worse the older he got and the more years that went by. So Jericho followed the pedigree that Triple H gave him with a lion salt, and he just pinned Kane. So now we're down to three. Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho, and Triple H. Ooh, Jericho just clotheslined Michaels over the top onto the grate. AJ the Great, speaking of greats, AJ the Great, watching you since TV Tracks. Glad to be here live. AJ, you've been watching me for a long-ass time, if that's the case. Thank you, AJ. AG, I'm sorry. Did I say AJ? I meant AG. Alberto Ortiz, a rare 5-for-5 title changes happened that night. That's right, the women's title, the tag titles, the cruiserweight title, the world heavyweight title. What am I missing? Women's, tag team, cruiserweight, world, that's only four. What am I missing? WWE. That's right, the WWE title. Scott Woodford, play Call of Duty right now. I don't have Call of Duty. Should I play Call of Duty? Is Call of Duty on Steam? Because that's how I would be playing it. I don't think I would be very good. The Triple H is back up. Jericho working over Shawn Michaels. Trying to open him. Oh, he did. Michaels bladed. His forehead is split. Now he's being ganged up on by Triple H and Chris Jericho. MattView72, excited to rewatch one of my favorite matches. You know, for a match that kind of went haywire with the botch, it's a pretty good match. Chris Underwood, $9.99 Super Chat. I first found your channel through TV Tracks, and man, I am glad that I did. You are my absolute favorite in the IWC, and as I finish this fifth of Tito's. Oh, very good. I toast you, my friend. Cheers to many more years, my man. I already finished my Jack. You finish your Tito's. Thank you, brother. And Michaels is taking a beating here. He's getting ready for that underdog babyface comeback. Brianna with the $4.99. Congratulations on 15 years. The sound off is always and will forever be very oosy. I am feeling very oosy tonight. Brianna, thank you. Temjin Zephyr, happy 15 years. Salamasser, I recall this match fondly as Chris Jericho came out to Saliva's King of My World. Always loved his first, always loved that theme song. Was there a reason that Jericho never won a world title around 02 to 04? Yes. His name is Triple H. So now Michaels is absolutely split open. Sean Nilsson says, congrats on 15 years. Hey, Sean, thank you for the 10 spot. Drew Johnson, this was earlier in the night, says, can't wait to watch the GOAT, HBK, win the title. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury, $5 Super Chat, says, 21 years ago tonight, I found out that I was going to have my youngest son, and it was also the last night that I ever did drugs. Fluff, I am happy to hear that you have turned things around, that you have stuck with it. I am proud of you. Takes a real man to do that. There's no greater responsibility in the world, right, than having a child, or so I've been told. Not that I have experience with it. So Michaels just got backdropped on the steel grate. Rolls back into the ring. Deep delicious chicken with flavor. Chicken and turkey with flavor. Happy 15 years, Salamonster. Shot glass emoji in the chat, everybody. That's right. Get those shot glasses up. All right, here we go. Michaels making that comeback. He's making that fiery babyface comeback, as only Shawn Michaels can. Flying forearm takes down Triple H. Here's the Shawn Michaels kip up 4.5 years out of the ring. But here's Jericho sneaking up on him with that running bulldog, and now he's going to go for the quebrada. And he hits the lion salt. He already pinned two guys with it tonight, RVD and Booker. Oh, Michaels kicks out. Hey, Jake Rohald says, do you main event night one? Oh, this was last night. I'm reading Jake's message from last night. All right, well, let's go to the finish of this match here, and then we'll get to the rest of your super chats. So if we're going to hang out for a little bit at the end here, get him on in now, because we're getting down to the nitty-gritty here. Jericho whips Michaels into the corner, and Michaels just gave him a foot to the face. Sean's climbing up. There's the moonsault. Where's Earl? Earl was a little late on the call there. I don't know where he just kind of vanished, and then he jumped into camera view to count the fall. All right, Michaels is trying to turn him over here for a Boston Crab. Jericho's fighting it. He's trying to give him a Walls of Jericho. And he does, but here comes Triple H. DDT. Down goes Shawn. Now Jericho's going to sneak over and try to steal the pin. And Triple H is going to pull him off. Uh-oh, we got some discourse here between Triple H and Chris Jericho. Triple H shoves him. There's no honor among thieves. So now the heels are going at it. Oh, just took Jericho's head off with that clothesline. Imagine being in there, right? These guys have already been in there for 20, 25 minutes. Triple H is in there, blood pouring down his face. His throat is so swollen that he can't even communicate with the other people in the ring. That's got to be fucking scary. I'd be worried my whole throat would close up. Oh, he got Jericho. Pedigree coming up. Nope, Jericho reverses. Getting him over for the walls. He got him. But here comes Shawn Michaels any minute now. He's going to be flying. I remember this. He's going to come flying in for that super kick. Triple H is trying to fight it. He's trying to make it to the ropes. He's trying. Ah, Jericho pulls him back to the center of the ring, and there it is. Right on the money, Sweet Chin Music. And goodbye, Chris Jericho. But hello to Con Clark. He just renewed his channel membership. Hey, Con. Welcome to the party, pal. So we're down to one-on-one. This is it. Shawn Michaels, Triple H, rematch from SummerSlam. Both men bloody. Trading bombs. There's a spinebuster, Arn Anderson-esque spinebuster by Triple H. This is the last time these guys are going to be in the ring in the main event on pay-per-view at Madison Square Garden until WrestleMania in 2004. You know what we've missed here in this match? I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but there's been something missing, noticeably missing here in this match. We have not had 1,000 camera cuts during this match. And let me ask you a question. Has the match suffered because of that? Does the match feel worse for not having these camera cuts? Of course not. This is back before Kevin Dunn completely lost his fucking mind with the overproduction of the show. One of the things I actually hate about the current product is the overproduction of the product. It's one of the reasons why it's fun to go back and watch these matches. They don't give you a headache when you watch them. Hey, Shock Z Elite Gaming. I want everybody to say hello to Shock Z. Just became a Sound Off superstar. Oh, Michaels is teasing a pedigree on the metal grate. Triple H is fighting it. takes his legs out. Triple H is going to do the slingshot into the pod. And Michaels breaks through the pod off a slingshot. And so now both men are down. Del Fuego says it was pro wrestling, not sports entertainment cuts. Just saying, it's really alarming to go back and watch these older shows. And again, these are shows that are being produced by the same man who is currently producing WWE today. But you see the difference in production from then to now. And it's one of those things where as technology evolves, you can do certain things, but that doesn't mean that you should. You know, even the 3D graphics they always put up when wrestlers come out for their entrance, like, you know, it doesn't bother me a lot, but some of them are so unnecessary. And the Usos come out, and you have two giant virtual Usos on either side of the screen pointing at the sky. Like, why? Is that necessary? It just looks stupid. It's the overproduction of the shows, I think, that is one of my biggest issues, my biggest pet peeve with WWE television. And I was hoping that under the new regime that they might cut down on that, but unfortunately that hasn't happened. All right, so they're back in the ring, both men back up. Triple H is in firm control. Yeah, the CGI. I mean, again, some of the 3D graphics, some of them are cool, but some of them are just ridiculous. Like, I don't know that every single person needs them. All right, so Michaels is on his knees. He's looking up. He's trying to fight his way back to his feet. And Triple H is just firing away. Now, one of the reasons why it kind of feels like, all right, this is going a little slower now, this finishing sequence was completely improvised. They realized before they went out there, they didn't have a finishing sequence. They knew who was going over, but they didn't know what they were doing for the finish. And Michaels was kind of freaking out about it before the show, and Triple H told him, we'll call it in the ring. Don't worry about it. So they're probably just coming up with this on the fly, and Triple H can't really communicate very well. So they're probably using Earl Hebner to help. You know, that's what's going on here right now. They're figuring all this out as they're going along. They didn't actually have a finish in mind. Uh-oh, Triple H setting up for a pedigree on the grate. Now Michaels pulls his legs out. And he's going to give Triple H a slingshot into the chains. Catapults him right into the chains. Triple H told ESPN, he said, we got to the end and it's me and Sean. Sean hasn't wrestled. It's his second time in 5 years. He's waiting for me to call it, only I'm like, I can't really. And I'm trying to talk to the referee. It was a complete and utter disaster. That is from the words of Triple H. Shawn Michaels climbing up. He's going up top. He's going up on one of the pods. Triple H is going, oh, fuck, not this again. He goes, please don't do this. This didn't work out well earlier. This is not going to work out well now. There he is. Michaels is up on top of the pod. And he came off with the elbow. Triple H, he turned. He got the shoulder in the way. So the shoulder took the elbow, not the throat. He was probably having deja vu when he looked up at Michaels up there. He was having flashbacks. And Sean's not going for the cover, though. He's up on his feet. He's calling for the super kick. This is the finishing sequence right here. Got blood coming down his face, right? I know why they don't do blood anymore, but in a match like this, it just adds so much. Here we go. He's tuning up the band. We're heading for the finish, guys. What was he thinking when he got that haircut? Nope, he caught the foot. Spins him around. Here comes the pedigree. There it is. JR and King were also, give them their kudos. They were fantastic on commentary during this match. So now both men are down. Triple H is, now he's starting to move. He's starting to inch his way over to Shawn. All he needs is one arm. There it is. And Michaels with the shoulder at the very last minute. And the crowd comes alive. Triple H up in Earl's face. He can't believe it. He's going to come back and try again. Here's the kick. Pedigree coming. Nope. Michaels with the backdrop. Triple H up. Eats the foot. And here it comes. One, two, three. And watch the shot. Watch the wide shot as they zoom out and they show the entire crowd coming to their feet. And that call from Howard Finkel, the new world heavyweight champion with a big gold belt for the first time in his career, Shawn Michaels. Jim Ross is losing his ever-loving mind on commentary. Here comes the confetti. Jim Ross was great here. This was classic JR. Such a great call. Do you believe in miracles? Says Jim Ross. Now, this was all Triple H's idea. It was Triple H's idea to drop the belt to his friend and put the world title on Shawn, then have Shawn drop it back to him the following month. And look, it made for a great moment, but I will tell you that they could have gone with a guy like RVD in this spot, in this building, on this night, and it would have gotten an equally great reaction. Like, RVD is probably the only other guy in this match who I think, if he had won this match, he would have gotten a huge reaction like Michaels did to winning this match. And it would have served more of a purpose because they would have been putting over one of the new guys on the roster instead of somebody who didn't really need it. But as a moment, it is a special moment. People still talk about it to this day. And Triple H said that we came out of the ring and I gave him a hug. I got on a stretcher. They took me to the hospital and I stayed there for 24 hours. I went to the hospital. I was pissed that I even had to go. I wanted to leave, and they would not let me. The doctor tells me, so let me tell you what's going to happen if you leave. It says, you're going to leave here, and you're going to go to bed, and then in the... Let me turn this off here, so before this goes into the next... This is going into Survivor Series 2003, which we are not watching. But he says what the doctor told him is that, let me tell you what's going to happen if you leave. You're going to leave here and you're going to go to bed, and then in the night, that's going to swell up and you're going to choke to death. So go ahead. You want me to get the paperwork? And Triple H said, yeah, no, I think I'll stay. So he stayed for about 24 hours and then went home. Chris Jericho back in 2017 said, it was all of this comedy of errors that you look back on and it's like, holy shit, I can't believe it became what it became, because the first one technically was a disaster. And so it's just funny to hear him say that, because it ended up being a hell of a fucking match. And you would never know it, because these guys were able to just improvise on the fly and make the most of it here. Now, as far as the aftermath of what happened, Big Show ended up losing the WWE Championship 1 month after winning it. He dropped it to Kurt Angle at Armageddon. Was it Armageddon or Vengeance? I think it was Armageddon the very next month. And that set the stage for Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar to have their match at WrestleMania. Shawn Michaels lost the big gold belt right back to Triple H in their Three Stages of Hell match the following month. That would be the very last time that Shawn Michaels would hold a singles championship in his career, was that World Heavyweight title. It was a token run. You know, his friend wanted to put his buddy over in Madison Square Garden in the main event, and he got to do that. Michaels never really had any great ambition to be the champion again. You know, the old Shawn Michaels could have politicked his way into a title run, and the new Shawn Michaels just, he didn't need it. That's why all those years went by, and, you know, he was never a world champion again after that. Triple H, of course, would go on to commence his infamous Reign of Terror, or as I called it, the Reign of Boredom, for most of 2003. And that was the aftermath of the Survivor Series. It was Armageddon, right? Yeah, I thought so. It might have been 2003. It might have been Vengeance. Was Vengeance in July? Or I feel like it, at one point Vengeance was in December, but maybe I have my timeline wrong. Because Vengeance, I think, typically was like a July, like a June or July pay-per-view. That may have switched up somewhere along the way, though. We have our good buddy Shock Z Elite Gaming, who became a channel member tonight, dropping a super chat saying, becoming a channel member was long overdue, from a mega longtime viewer. Thank you for making me realize why I love wrestling again as an adult. That is a very great compliment to be paid. Look, I've always said, I watch so you don't have to. I used to say that all the time when Raw was at its worst, and I'm sorry to say Raw is very rapidly slipping back into that mode again. But I've always said, like, some people don't watch, they don't have time to watch, or they have families, or they just, they're bored by it, they don't want to watch wrestling every week like they used to. And I've always said, I watch so you don't have to. I am your link. I keep you connected to the wrestling world, even as you feel yourself fading away. I watch so you don't have to. That's always been my slogan. Because there are a lot of people who just don't, you know, they're not as into it as they used to be, or they just don't have time for it, but they can't give it up completely, right? Like, once you're a wrestling fan, it's in your blood, man. Like, it's hard to give that up. You don't want to completely divorce yourself from it. You want to be connected in some way. You want to be up to date on what's going on. That's where I come in. And I've had a lot of people over the years tell me that they don't watch wrestling the way they used to. They barely watch wrestling. Some people don't watch at all. They just watch the podcasts. They listen to the podcasts. And I always thought that's fucking amazing. Like, to me, that has always been just an incredible compliment to be paid. So, oh my God, look who it is. It is Drew Johnson dropping a $50 super chat drop. Yes, 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 yes. Drew, you get the yes treatment tonight. You are the first and only one so far to get the yes chant. Drew Johnson dropping a $50 super chat on the 15-year anniversary stream. Says, my boy HBK getting the job done. Let's go. Drinking some Evan Williams Solid Monster. Happy 15, my friend. I have not had any Evan Williams. Is it any good? I can't say that I have enjoyed any Evan Williams myself. Joseph Brooks with the $1.99. What do you think is the best Survivor Series 5-on-5 match ever? I think that the 2003 match with Team Austin against Team Bischoff, and Shawn Michaels had just an incredible performance in that match. That may be the best one. That may be the best one. I'm trying to think of another one that I would rank above it, and I'm coming up blank. That might have been the last really great Survivor Series match, to be honest with you. Not that I think about it. Like elimination match. That match was fantastic. Best cheap bourbon there is. Hey, Salamasa don't skimp on his bourbon. He doesn't skimp on his bourbon or his whiskey. When the occasion calls and it's time to drink, I gotta drink the good stuff. I don't have any Johnny Walker here. It's been a while since I've had any Johnny Walker. You do Johnny Walker, you got to do the Black Label stuff. Bobby's World, 2110, with the $10 super chat. Wouldn't miss this for anything, fan since 2015. Found you on TV Tracks. Likely looking up stuff on the Royal Rumble debacle. I did pick up a lot of fans after that 2014 Royal Rumble debacle. Although back then, in 2014, I wasn't really putting much stuff on YouTube. That's one of the things I've kicked myself for over the years is, yeah, I opened the channel very early on when I started doing the main podcast, like 2008, and then I just left it. And I was so focused on the audio show, the main show, that I didn't really start pumping out the YouTube content. I mean, I let Tracks, you know, TV Tracks, use clips and stuff. We had an agreement. So my content was all over YouTube. It just wasn't my channel. And that didn't really start until I'd say about 4 or 5 years ago. So, you know, we're over 71,000 subs now, but my God, where would we be had I gotten an earlier start on YouTube? So that's one of the things I kind of beat myself up over. We have got the real Dirty Dan dropping a $5 super chat. I am no longer Google Chrome user. I am now the real me. Happy 15 years, Solemn Monster. Thank you for making work easier. Well, I am glad that you are the real you, because I was getting tired of having to move this over with all those long names. Just be yourself. Dan, it's good to have you. Thank you, Dirty Dan. The real Dirty Dan. 8-9 Tech. Jericho has to be the MVP of chamber matches. I don't know. Would Jericho be the MVP of chamber match? Triple H has been in a lot of them, too. I would be curious to find out who has the highest number of elimination chamber matches. I kind of feel Triple H might be number one. If not number one, then definitely number two. Randy Orton's got to be up there. Dr. Dakota Scorpio. Happy 15th, Solo Monster. Dakota, thank you. Deep delicious chicken and turkey with flavor. You're partying with the Brawling Brutes and Drew McIntyre. Pick one member of the group to be the designated driver. I don't want Butch driving because he's a fucking maniac. Honestly, I'd probably be the designated driver of the group. I feel like I would be the most responsible. So the designated driver would be me. Rodimus Prime, what's up, Solo? Hope all is well. Happy 15, wishing 15 more. Rodimus, love you, brother. Uffman Entertainment, wishing a happy anniversary. Gracias por todos estos años de grandes espectáculos. Didn't think I was going to say that now, did you? Thank you, Uffman. David Rivera with the $4.99, been a loyal listener and watcher since 2018 and never miss an episode. Cheers to 15 years, and here's to 15 more. Thank you, Solomonster. Thank you, David Rivera. Scott Woodford, I miss my friend who I talked wrestling with. I'm sorry that your friend isn't around. Now, I mean, did something bad happen to your friend, or did they just move away? Did they pass away? I don't know the circumstances, but Scott, you've always got friends here in the live chat to talk wrestling with every week. Taylor Cannon with the $10 super chat. Congratulations on 15 years. Thanks for all the great content. You are very welcome, Taylor, and thank you for the super chat love. Your support keeps this channel going. Your support keeps this engine running, even when I'm running on fumes and very little sleep. You guys make it all worth it. Bryant in the chat says, I also have a bottle of Monkey Shoulder, which is blended malty scotch whiskey. That sounds interesting. Monkey Shoulder. Dorzak. Have a good night, Dorzak. We have got Metal Rules 5 with the $20 super chat. Congrats on 15. I remember when you called Shawn Michaels the Wet Bandit during one of the Saudi events. Home Alone is a true classic. What was the... I'm trying to remember what the context was of that reference. I absolutely would have said the Wet Bandit, but what was the context behind it? Josiah Ball, Very likely. Just give me a few minutes here. We will very likely do some Be the Booker. JM, again, thank you for that $45 drop earlier. Now the World 138 has been a listener for almost a decade. Give you and the Mets a hard time as a Dodger fan. I have too, but love you, man. Keep up the good fight. Hey, we always rib each other. It's all good. Bob the Builder with the $3 Super Chat. What do you think the reason for the low AEW ticket sales are? Just saw a picture from last night's Dynamite, and it was brutal. Three quarters of the arena was empty. Well, they were in Connecticut last night, and I believe they might have been in that same building only a few months ago. So I think one of the reasons, not the only reason, this is not the only reason, but I think one of the reasons why is because they've run the same market so many times that it's the law of diminishing returns. And the more that you run the same building in the same market, you're not going to get the same number of people, especially at a time when the product is colder than it was at the beginning of the year. Losing CM Punk hurts. There's no doubt about it. But look, even if they weren't getting rid of CM Punk, CM Punk is hurt. CM Punk would not be around now regardless. So when a big name like Punk goes down with an injury, you have to be able to adapt. Now they're going to get Kenny Omega back. They're going to get the Young Bucks back. That might help a little bit. That should help a little bit. You know, with their audience, those are some big names for them to get back. But they just, you know, Tony Khan has to do a better job of featuring his talent and sticking with them and not featuring them for a couple of weeks and then cycling them out. We don't see them again for 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks. Injuries happen. Sometimes it's out of his control. But he bears a lot of that responsibility, and a lot of people are also very sick of the Ring of Honor stuff. And he's between a rock and a hard place right now because he spent this money to buy the bones of Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor was a dead brand, and he wanted to breathe new life back into it. So without any kind of business plan, he had to act fast. He swooped in. He bought the bones, and now after the fact, he's trying to piece together a business plan. He's trying to get a television show going. He has no deal, because if he did, we would have heard about it by now, but he's working on it. He's working on something. He can't tell us what, but he's working on something. And in the meantime, in his mind, and he's not wrong in thinking this, he can't put Ring of Honor on the back burner and then get a television deal and then bring it back to life. He needs to keep it in the public eye in some way. He needs to have a light shined on it before they get that show, whatever show it's going to be that he hopes to get. Meanwhile, though, you have people watching AEW television who, in a lot of cases, they don't give a shit about Ring of Honor. They don't care who the Ring of Honor champion is. They don't care that FTR are the Ring of Honor tag team champions. They want FTR on AEW television, fighting for the AEW tag team. You know, I mean, you have these Ring of Honor storylines, Jericho, the Ocho, Jericho, the Ring of Jericho champion. I don't hate that story, but again, there's a lot of people that don't watch AEW for Ring of Honor. If they wanted to watch Ring of Honor, they would already be Ring of Honor fans. They watch it for AEW and the AEW stars. And that's also a very big problem. Tony Khan has to balance that. So I understand why he wants to feature Ring of Honor. He can't just kind of lock it away in a lockbox and wait. And then how are you going to get a television show? If you need proof of concept, you have to prove that there's interest in Ring of Honor. In order to do that, when you have Final Battle next month, you want to make sure you get a decent buy rate. That way you can point to Warner Discovery if, let's say, he wants to try to get a show on TNT or TBS and say, hey, look. Look how well our pay-per-view did. Look at all the buys that we got. To do that, though, to generate buys, you need to feature Ring of Honor stuff. So that's why he does it. There's a lot of people who don't care. So AEW has a lot of problems right now that they have to sort through. Rampage is an absolute fucking waste of a show. I mean, I used to review it every week, and it is a completely uneventful, skippable, missable show. It's not even a bad show. It's not like, oh my God, this show is fucking terrible. I've seen terrible wrestling shows before. I watched 3 hours of Monday Night Raw for the last decade, okay? So I know what bad wrestling television looks like. Impact, for a while, was a terrible show. And now Impact, I hear from a lot of people, Impact actually isn't bad. The thing is, Impact, nobody watches Impact. Impact has no buzz. So I won't even say that Impact is a bad show. It's just a show that, again, has barely any audience. But the problem with Rampage is almost worse. Because at least if it was really bad, you might even watch it and go, I have to see how bad this is. You know, it's so bad, it's good. It's not even that. It's just, it doesn't make you feel anything. You're completely apathetic towards the show, and you just feel like there's nothing, there's no reason for me to have to take an hour out of my night on a Friday night when I could be doing something else to watch this television show. I could watch Dynamite, and I've seen all the important stuff. I don't need to tune into Rampage. So Rampage is also just a complete waste of an hour on Friday night. Which is why the audience on Rampage continues to dwindle and go down on most weeks. So, he's got a lot of problems. AW has a lot of problems that he's going to have to figure out and rectify. The booking with some of these people, whether it's Wardlow and FTR, you know, it's just, it's not good. It's not where it needs to be. You know, the bloom is off the rose. And it's up to him to figure out how to fix that problem. So. Hey, Jacob McDonald, thank you for the $7. This congrats on 15 years. Thank you, Jacob. Scott Woodford says, I first heard you on Wrestling Soup. Very cool. Yes, I have made a few appearances on the Soup over the years. I love soup. In fact, I had some soup with dinner tonight. So, shout out to Mish and Joey Numbers. Good dudes, friends of mine. Brian Passera with the 1992 Ric Flair Super Chat. Cheers, Solo Monster. Next month, Dynamite coming to San Antonio, and I will be there for the show. Was there for that last Dynamite when Thunder Rosa won the women's title in a steel cage. I am aware of the fact that they are coming back to San Antonio. It's too bad that she won't be able to be back in time. That would have been the perfect place for her to make her comeback. And it doesn't look like... Not only does it not look like that's going to happen, Tony Khan was talking today about the possibility of just making Toni Storm the official AEW Women's Champion, which, frankly, he should have just done that from day one instead of this interim title nonsense. Make her the champion. When Thunder Rosa is healed and ready to come back, she could be back in the title mix. So now he's in a situation where if he doesn't think she's going to be back anytime soon, he may end up just making her the permanent champion. When he should have done that from the very beginning. Shock Z Elite Gaming. With the $4.99 from earlier. Thank you to him again. We have got Brian Kinsley. Been listening for 10 plus years. You rock. Congrats. You know what I love seeing, by the way? I am seeing a lot of green. A lot of badges and a lot of green in the chat, which means we got a fuck ton of channel members with us tonight. I love seeing that. See, that's how you can tell all the members apart from the non-members. You can tell all the believers from the non-believers. You know, I will put this out there to Tony Khan. If Tony Khan needs some help booking his shows, I will happily gift to him my Be the Booker videos. Or I will create some new ones for him. He can book his television the Be the Booker way. I'm willing to help him out. I'm just putting that out there. Bobby's World 2110. Cody, Austin, Vince, Punk. Your 15th year. Is this the most newsworthy year in wrestling history? Yes, it is. 2022, I believe, is the most newsworthy year in wrestling history. I believe it is. This has been... I mean, think about everything that has gone down this year. And the fact that Stone Cold Steve Austin came back for the first time and wrestled in 19 years in the main event of WrestleMania. And it will not even go down as the biggest story of the year. It feels but a distant memory at this point. That's how crazy this year has been. Drew Johnson says, open up the phone lines. Not tonight. Maybe we will in the future, though. Marquise, happy 15 years solo. Here's to another 15. Thank you, sir. Tuxedo T Servo. Thank you, Tux. Donovan D. Perhaps it's Donovan Digest. Buy or sell Brian Gewirtz or Vince Russo as the head writer? Brian Gewirtz. Brian Gewirtz is a Mets fan. Gotta go with Brian. I think Brian Gewirtz is a Mets fan and Russo is a Yankee fan. So we're going Brian Gewirtz on that one. Bob the Builder. I know... Tony Khan, I thought he said I know today. Tony Khan today on the media call, when asked about Ring of Honor on TV, was bragging about the Ring of Honor pay-per-view buy rates, saying that it's the best year for the business with Ring of Honor. Okay, so then he should have no problem getting a television show. I mean, if he's going to go around and brag about that, then how come he doesn't have a show by now? I wouldn't be bragging about anything with Ring of Honor. I would be keeping it very modest, because the longer this drags out for, the longer it just looks like nobody wants a Ring of Honor show, and he's just kind of blowing smoke. The numbers may be better than anything Ring of Honor ever did before, which I don't think speaks very well to Ring of Honor, if that's the case. And that's coming from a person who was a Ring of Honor fan for many years. But if it took 20 years and Tony Khan buying it to suddenly, you know, have their best buy rate ever, what does that say about ROH as a brand and the effort that Sinclair did or did not put behind the brand? Because Sinclair was a multi-billion-dollar media conglomerate that could have allotted more money if they wanted to towards Ring of Honor, and they didn't. So what does that say about their commitment to that brand? But less bragging and... you know, I would be a little more subtle about things. I don't know that I would be bragging about Ring of Honor stuff right now. HBKC83, when do you think we will see Adam Cole back? No idea. Hey, C-Lab. C-Lab, good to hear from you. No idea. When it comes to concussions, and he's been out now for about 5 months, right? 4 months. 5 months. It's very unpredictable, you know. Concussions are very unpredictable. So I hope, my hope, I forgot that this was on. my hope is that he just gets better. You know, concussions can be very, very serious stuff, and I just want him to be healthy, and at that point, if he can come back and wrestle, then great. But that's the most important thing. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, watch NWA. I heard they got a new world champion. Oh, yeah, I heard the same thing. I'll be sure to get right on that. I'll be sure to get on that. Deep Delicious Chicken and Turkey with Flavor. Here's a good son scenario. Save one and let the other one go. Commentary edition. Excalibur or Pat McAfee? Well... I'm sorry to say, I wonder if Excalibur will wear the mask as he is falling off the side of the mountain, because that's actually a very easy one. Adios, Excalibur. I'm saving Pat McAfee. And the Magician Sapphire. What's good, Solo? I just saw pictures of last night's Dynamite Live crowd, and it's not good. How does Tony Khan fix that? Will running different markets help? Just answered that question. Literally just answered that same question. I do think they need to run new markets. That's far from their only problem, but they're going to be running some West Coast states in 2023. They're going to make the UK for the first time, and that's progress. That's good. Yeah, I know they've been waiting to get to the UK for a while. Were it not for the pandemic, I'm sure they would have already been there by now. But yeah, I just went through that entire thing, and you know, again, it's a combination of a lot of different things. It's the booking, it's the running the same markets, it's the Ring of Honor factor, and the fact that they did lose some big names, and there are some names who were out hurt, and you take all of that together, and it hurts, you know, and that's something that they need to start making steps to correct. Slim Yoshi, happy 15 years, been listening since 2015, and quick question, your favorite WWE pay-per-view song? His favorite is Always by Saliva. There have been a lot of great songs that they have used over the years. I've spoken about the use of Running Up That Hill, the cover that Placebo did for the Shawn Michaels Undertaker video package for WrestleMania 26. If you're talking the actual event itself and not just a video package for one, like, you know, My Way, right? My Way, I think, was used overall for the WrestleMania event, not just the main event. So, you know, My Way by Limp Bizkit was just, for that WrestleMania, it was just perfect. And to me, that's a hard one to top. Because that show, and as great as that show was, and as epic as that main event was, coupled with that song for that time period, it just, everything was just perfect when it came to that. But I love the use of Highway to Hell. You know, AC/DC for SummerSlam back in 98, that was fucking great. 2 many to name. Those are some of the big ones that come off the top of my head, though. I always think back to the Highway to Hell theme. I always think back to My Way. Look, I even like Big Time WrestleMania 22, but I'm an 80s guy. So the fact that they would use fucking Peter Gabriel for a WrestleMania song, I loved it. Some people hated it. I thought it was great. But there have been a lot of good ones. You got list them in the chat. Yeah, you know, Tomas, Trustfall Company. I'm glad you mentioned them. Trustfall Company was one they were using back in like 2001, 2002, around then. There was a song by Trustfall Company. Oh, God. Was it Downfall? I think they had a song called Downfall. That was very good. Yeah, a lot of that music, that music they were using from like 01 to 03, I miss that kind of music, and I wish they would use that more often on their pay-per-views now. But I guess it's not Flo Rida, so they're not interested. Remedy, yes, Remedy. Song Remedy, that was for SummerSlam 2005. That was a great one as well. See, it was Downfall by Trust Company. See? I remember that. Puddle of Mud from Survivor Series 2001. That's right. That was the alliance against Team WWF. Build a Bridge by Limp Bizkit. Was that WrestleMania 19? I believe it was. Or was that... No. That was a different one. That was... Backcracker? I don't remember. There's so many Limp Bizkit songs. Seether was great. They used a lot of Seether songs back then. Joseph Brooks with the $4.99. What is the greatest match in Survivor Series history? It could be any match. Well, I did mention the elimination match from 2003. We just watched the Chamber match tonight. That was a very good match. I wouldn't say that's the best, though. Best Survivor Series match ever. I'm running through the years in my head. 96, Look, the Bret Hart-Steve Austin match for Madison Square Garden in 96 was an excellent match. I enjoyed their WrestleMania match more, but their Survivor Series match was excellent back in 96. Shawn Michaels and Sid, that same night on that same show. I loved that match. That's the best Psycho Sid match that I have ever seen in my life. Was him and Shawn Michaels and the reaction that each one of them got. And Sid winning the title and hitting Jose with the television camera and winning the championship and the place goes nuts. I love that match. 95, Bret Hart and Diesel had a great title match. That was the best of all the matches those two had. I thought the best of their trilogy in WWE. It might be Bret and Austin, honestly, in 96. I might have to go Bret Hart, Steve Austin in 1996. That's a hard one to beat. Yeah, Fight Song by Marilyn Manson. They used that song in the video package for the two-man power trip back in 2001. That's a great song, too. Actually, you know what a great song would be for them to use? More Human Than a Human, right? White Zombie. That would be a great fucking song for a pay-per-view. It happened to come on my playlist at the gym the other day. I said, man, that's a great fucking song. I haven't heard that in a while. Hey, West Coast James, is that Hollywood Herrera? I believe it is. He's been a channel member for 19 months. He says, what's up? What did I miss? You missed everything. You missed it all. You're going to have to go back and watch the whole thing over again. You missed the whole damn thing. We've got MSTYHPSMNTNS. I can't even begin to pronounce it, so I figured I'll just spell it out with the $5 super chat. Congrats on 15. Been listening since 2016. Keep up the good work. You are the GOAT. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Magician Sapphire. Did Cody leaving affect the booking in AEW? It feels like Cody was someone who Tony Khan can play off of when it came to booking. Yeah, I don't know how intimately involved Cody was in the actual booking. I know he was doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes and community outreach. I don't know. He might have bounced ideas off of Tony Khan. I think Cody leaving hurt the company, not necessarily creatively. I just think that his presence there when he left, you know, he was one of the founding fathers of that company. He was an EVP in that company. And so him leaving, that's a very big piece of the heart and soul of that company that just disappeared. So I absolutely think Cody leaving hurt the company. Drew Johnson with the $2. When it's time to party, Sala Monster will party hard. It's the only way how. It's the only way that you can do it is to party hard. That's it. When they drop that sick beat and it's time, you gotta do it the right way. What can I say? I'm a crazy man. Yeah, you know, I'm sorry I didn't show love to Evanescence. You know, we're talking about, you know, Rob Zombie, and we're talking about Drowning Pool, and we're talking about Seether and all these bands from back then, like 2003. Evanescence was the shit. And they used Bring Me to Life for the No Way Out pay-per-view in 2003, for that second match between Triple H and Scott Steiner. Bring Me to Life was great. I loved a lot of their songs. My Immortal, there's a certain version of My Immortal that, you know, it's that is a very emotional song. My Immortal is a great song. Going Under is a great song. Tourniquet. I'm a big Evanescence fan. Power Spyin is very upset that Glow was canceled. He still has not gotten over the fact that Glow was canceled. Well, you don't have Glow, but you got WOW. You got WOW, Women of Wrestling, which might be syndicated in your market. I don't know how many people are actually watching that show, but you could always give that a shot. Juan Ocampo. Can we get the annual Orton douche pose from you? There it is. Shout out to Randy Orton. I don't know what's going on with Randy Orton. I saw that he or his wife put a picture up on Instagram of him laying in a hospital bed with a mask and a gown. Although there's no indication of when that picture was from. That could have been from months ago for all we know, but it didn't look good. It looked like he was undergoing some kind of operation. Maybe he was getting a vasectomy. I don't know, but hopefully Randy Orton is going to be back relatively soon, because he's a big name they could really use, I think, on the top of the card right now. MH Nova says that WOW in New York comes on Sundays at 11 p.m. on... That's right. Channel 10/55. That's where Shotgun Saturday Night used to air in New York. It was on New York 55 back then. Now it's 10/55. I had to go to New York 55, some obscure fucking local channel, to watch Shotgun back in the day. Look at that. You get Dancing Sala Monster live, and you get Dancing Sala Monster in the Super Chat from 89 Tech in Chamber 2004. New Year. Oh, is Chamber 2004 New Year's Revolution underrated? I don't think so, because I don't remember much about it. Couldn't have been that good if I don't remember anything about it, because I remember everything. Why do I think AEW has not used Arn Anderson lately? I believe Arn Anderson is still helping out behind the scenes. I don't know if Tony Khan bounces, you know, ideas off of him. But when Cody went away, that was the end of his on-screen role. He wasn't really needed anymore. Cody kind of fucked him over. Based God of Seduction says there was no 2004 Chamber. Well, then he might be talking about 2006. Or 2005. Probably 2005. He got the year wrong. You don't have to beat up on him. He got the year wrong. Favorite Hell in a Cell match. His mine is New Day against the Usies. The original. Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker in 1997, which we did a watch-along for last month, if you want to go back and check it out. His Glock is in the shop. Yeah, maybe Arn is, he's getting a new Glock. So once he's got the new Glock, he'll be back on TV. Hit that like button, by the way, because there's no goal for tonight, but it does help out the video as far as the algorithm goes and getting it recommended for people. So if you really want to help out the channel and you want to get this video out to as many people as possible, there is actually a good reason to hit the like button, so please go ahead and do that. We're close to 250. Let's see if we can get that up a little bit more. And what I will do here, because I know you guys are hoping for it, can't have an anniversary stream without doing a little bit of Be the Booker. So if you guys are okay with that, if I have your permission to go ahead and do that, let's go ahead and do Be the Booker here on this 15-year anniversary stream.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the Booker.
If I have your permission, I would like to be the Booker and book some matches here tonight. We booked Muffin Man against Will Ospreay last night. That was our big marquee match on the Dynamite stream. So let's see if we can top the Muffin Man and Will Ospreay here tonight. Muffin Man loves his muffins. I hear it's from Mindy's. I hear they're closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. Tonight, we start out with Butterbean. Eric Esch. The man who knocked Bart Gunn into the next universe at WrestleMania 15. And who not only did he knock Bart Gunn into the next millennium, but I believe, who is it that he had? Was it Mark Mero? I think he had a boxing match with Mark Mero on the Degeneration X in Your House pay-per-view, if I'm remembering that. We have Butterbean going one-on-one with Seth Rollins. I think Seth Rollins would give Butterbean the best match of his entire life. Seth Rollins is talented enough. He would be bouncing like a butterball all over that ring for Butterbean. So I actually think Seth Rollins can pull a pretty fucking good match out of Butterbean. If we're talking about Butterbean in that photo, not Butterbean today, but Butterbean from 20 or 25 years ago. I think he would make that work. Switch on over to the ladies. Get some ladies action here on this stream. We begin with Rowdy Ronda Rousey, the reigning SmackDown Women's Champion. Got to start building to Becky and Ronda at WrestleMania in LA. Hey, Cricket 214 became a Sound Off legend. Everybody say hello to Cricket 214. Cricket, very popular in many parts of the world. And he's popular in this chat tonight. Ronda Rousey is going to be going one-on-one with who? will Ronda Rousey be stepping into the ring with? Ronda Rousey will be going one-on-one with Ty Mello. We just picked Ty Mello last night. What was the match last night? It was Ty Mello against who? I don't even remember who the opponent was. This is the second night in a row that I picked Ty Mello. Yeah, I'm not really a fan of that match. So that got a buzzer from me. Was it Natalia? It was Natalia. Yes, it was. It was Natalia and Ty Mello, and I gave that the buzzer as well. Landing on Ty Mello, second night in a row. She's only in there once out of like 160 women. I don't understand it. Tag teams, we begin with the greatest tag team of all time. Daryl Hall and John Oates. Look at the hair on these guys. Look at the fucking mustache on Oates. Oates shaving his mustache is one of the great tragedies in American history. Daryl Hall and John Oates. So nobody asked the question, but if you were to ask me, who is your favorite band of all time? Who's your favorite musician of all time? You're looking at him right there. Hall and Oates. It's not Hall and Nash. It's Hall and Oates. I'm going to start a company. Well, I'm going to start my own food truck delivery company where I literally haul oats all throughout the U.S. and I'm going to call it Hall and Oates. That's what I'm going to do. It's going to be Hall and Oates stepping into the ring with Head Cheese. The greatest match of all time. I just booked here on Be the Booker. Hall and Oates against Al Snow and Steve Blackman with a block of cheese on his head as a mannequin head sits in the background. This is what Be the Booker was made for. We have topped ourselves tonight. That is the greatest match in the history of wrestling. And nobody can tell me any differently. I don't give a shit what you say. You will not convince me that that is not the greatest match in the history of professional wrestling. That is why we do Be the Booker. Love it. Love it. Brumakian Productions with the $2 says, stay warm tonight, brother. I'm trying. That's why I got my zip-up shirt tonight. It's the heat was up earlier, but the heat hasn't been on for a few hours, so it's a little nippy in here. Jack Frost is nipping at my balls, so I had to make sure I dressed for the occasion. I didn't drink enough to where I'm going to be completely warm. So I'm doing well. I hope you are too, wherever you are. It is an instant classic, and if Meltzer doesn't give it 7 stars, then, you know, he's a fucking fraud. Because I don't know. I mean, if that match doesn't get the 7-star treatment, then I don't know what does. You put Hall and Oates in the ring with anybody, let alone them, in the Tokyo Dome, and I guarantee you would get 7 stars. Deep Delicious Chicken and Turkey with Flavor. You book better women's matches than Tony Khan. Really? Because that's pretty sad if that's the case. We usually don't do as well on the women's matches as we do with the men. Only if it's in Japan. Yes, that's what I said. If it was in the Tokyo Dome, you put Hall & Oates in the Tokyo Dome, they're selling that place out. What happens if we get Hall & Oates against Demolition in Be the Booker? I would have a crisis of conscience. I don't know what I would do. All my 80s impulses, when my 80s neurons would be shooting in my brain. I wouldn't know what to do with myself. Maze the Great in the chat says, it is colder than Amber Heard's heart outside. Thank you, Maze. If I had a tomato, I would throw it at you. Buy or sell, Katrina or Miss Elizabeth? I mean, I love Liz. Like I said, she was my first crush, but you know, we got to go with Katrina on that one. Tomorrow night, you guys are too much. Tomorrow night, we're going to be live after SmackDown. They've got to get going here with this build to the War Games match at Survivor Series. From what I'm reading now, Kevin Owens, even with his MCL sprain, is scheduled to be at SmackDown tomorrow night. I am hoping that is a good sign that he will be able to be in the War Games match. It could just as easily be that he's there to shoot an angle to explain why he will not be part of it. But hopefully he is able to make it. So we'll be live after SmackDown. We will be live again after the Full Gear pay-per-view on Saturday night, however late it may be. Episode 783 of the podcast coming up on Sunday. And then we start the Thanksgiving week with a Monday Night Raw stream on Monday night. And right now, the schedule for Thanksgiving week is looking normal. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. If that changes, I'll let you guys know. But hopefully you are going to be celebrating the holidays with family or whoever you would normally celebrate the holidays with. Maybe you'll celebrate the holiday with me. I want to say thank you here before I leave you again for 15 great years, 15 very fun years. Hopefully there's many more yet to come. Hopefully this channel and this show will continue to prosper and grow because of all of you. It has become a very important part of my, not just in terms of making a living now, but also in terms of just my everyday life, every day, every week. I am consumed with all things Sound Off, and it's become a very big part of my life. I thank you for that. I thank you for all of the great moments and all the great streams and all the great super chats here tonight. All of our new channel members. We welcomed a whole bunch of new members into our family. All the congratulations, I mean, in all seriousness, all the congrats, all the emojis and everything, it means a lot. But at the end of the day, the most important thing is to keep on watching and to keep on listening, downloading, streaming, sharing, retweeting, liking, all of those things make a massive difference. And it means a lot to me, and to get that kind of support from you is really the best thing that I could possibly ask for. So I don't have anything left in my glass, but if I did, I would be saluting all of you and saying cheers and thank you one last time. I am probably going to be doing one more watch along this year, which I'm thinking will be the, because it's 25 years since the infamous main event of Starrcade 97, where Sting came back and challenged Hollywood Hogan for the WCW Championship, and we all know how that went. So we might do a watch-along later next month around Christmas time, or right after Christmas for that match. But that's the only watch-along possibly that is left for this year. We'll do a bunch more of these in the new year. I've enjoyed doing them. I tried to time them with like 20, 25-year anniversaries, but we'll come up with a whole new bunch of them in 2023. So hopefully you enjoyed the watch-along portion of the stream. Be well. Stay safe. Have yourselves a fantastic night. I'm going to go grab some food and try to enjoy the rest of mine. And I will see you guys back here tomorrow night. We'll do it all over again for SmackDown. Thank you for all the love. I'll see you guys tomorrow night.